Man, thank you, Jeremy. Listen, somebody here this morning, you really needed to hear the words to that song. You really needed to be able to sing those this morning. I lift my eyes up and my help comes from the Lord. I believe that there's someone here this morning and you feel bound, you feel chained by something that's going on in your life and you feel like there's no victory for you and you're struggling. This morning, I want you to know that the truth, we just sang the truth over you. We sang the truth. That he is all we need. He is always enough, and he loves you. So, I really believe that crumble cookie is from the devil, okay? Let me just tell you what happens to me, okay? This is what happens. We'll be sitting somewhere, me and Amy be sitting at the house, or we'll be driving in the car, you know, we'll be going someplace, and suddenly she or someone who is in my vicinity will say these words, crumble cookie. That it doesn't matter what the context is. It doesn't matter what else is going on. As soon as someone brings up the words crumble cookie to me, I have to have crumble cookie. You know what I'm saying? We must go immediately to crumble cookie and get some crumble cookies. We cannot pass go. We cannot collect $200. We've got to go immediately to crumble cookie and get some crumble cookies. I believe it's possible that they sprinkle the top of those cookies with crack or something, but they're really good. And as soon as somebody brings up crumble cookie, like I have to have it immediately. I want it right then. And you guys know what I'm talking about, because some of you, that's where you are right now. The only reason it's safe for me to talk about crumble cookie right now is I have to preach for the next 15 minutes and I can't go anywhere, right? And for some of you, this is really tough for you. As soon as I said it, you're like, now I don't know if I'm going to have you the whole rest of the service. You may be thinking about crumble cookie the rest of the time. That's how powerful it is, right? We're accustomed, though. We are accustomed in our lives to having what we want when we want it. We live in a culture that tells us that if we want a certain kind of food, if we want a cookie, we go get a cookie, right? If we want some French fries, we go get some French fries. If we want something, we go get it. We're accustomed to living that way. And we actually live in a culture that tells us that we shouldn't deny ourselves anything we want, right? The goal of a happy life in our culture, the goal of a happy life is to have all of our desires fulfilled. And so if you want to be happy, you've got to fulfill all of these desires that you have in your life. And we all struggle with this. We all want that. We want what we want when we want it. And if we don't get what we want when we want it, we can get irritable, right? We can get pretty... You know, anybody here with teenagers, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. So Scripture tells us, though, that living that way is actually a recipe for disaster. Okay, but don't listen to me, right? Look in your Bibles, Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Here's what Paul writes to the church in Rome. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 24. Here's what Paul writes. He says, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. There are several truths that we get from this passage of Scripture. We don't have time to talk about them all, but here's one thing. Being abandoned to follow our own desires is the worst thing that can happen to us. That's what Paul says. Whenever we're just pursuing our own desires, right, that leads us to dark and to deadly places. Also in this passage, our hearts desire evil things. The natural state of our hearts is to chase after things that are bad for us, that are harmful for us, that are destructive for us. That's the way we're put together. But fortunately, there is a spiritual discipline that we can practice that's designed to remind us that our desires can't be trusted. That we have to trust God to cause us to desire that which is good for us. That spiritual discipline is fasting. That's what fasting does for us. As soon as I said that word, some of you were like, oh no, right? You just talked about crumble cookie, Brad. Now you're going to talk about fasting, right? But there's some important things that I believe Scripture has to teach us about this spiritual discipline. But I want you to understand, we've been talking about different practices that we can put into place in our lives that will help us be healthy. Here's the thing. We can't expect to be spiritually healthy if we continue to practice unhealthy things. If we don't put into practice healthy practices, right? If we don't do healthy things in our lives, we can't expect to be healthy. And we know this because it happens in every other facet of our lives. There's no way we can expect to be physically healthy, right? If we eat all kinds of terrible food and we never exercise, right? We have to put practices into place that will help us be healthy. And it's the same with our spiritual life too. The fact of the matter is, all of us in this room struggle with the disease of selfishness. We struggle with the disease, right, of following, wanting to follow after our own desires that are often destructive. All of us in this room struggle with that. There's only one way to get healthy. There's only one way to pursue health, and that is to put practices in place that help us do that, right? That's what fasting is, and that's why we're going to talk about this morning. So here's the question you might be asking. What is fasting? What are you even talking about? Well, generally, fasting in Scripture is abstaining from food in order to enable spiritual growth. So not eating meals, right? So that God can grow us spiritually. Usually, fasting involves abstaining from food. And in the ancient world, that was almost always the practice. Almost always when someone fasted, that meant that they were abstaining from food. But sometimes people would abstain from like certain kinds of food. You know, sometimes there will be a partial fast. There's an absolute fast where you're abstaining from all food. There's a partial fast where you're abstaining from some food. An example of this, Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 says this. Daniel writes, "When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time, I had eaten no rich food. No meat or wine had crossed my lips. I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed." So Daniel, he wasn't abstaining from all food in this passage. He was abstaining from rich food, from meat, from wine, and lotion. And let me just say, some of you guys need to fast from lotion, okay? Praise be to God. But that's what fasting is, right? That's what fasting is. It's abstaining from something in order to enable spiritual growth in our lives. Here's a couple of other things that you need to know, okay? The first thing is this. Jesus fasted, okay? Jesus fasted. In fact, by the time of Jesus, by Jesus' day, most religiously observant Jewish people, they would fast 4 times a year. There were 4 times during the year where a fast was proclaimed, okay? So they participated in a fast at least 4 times a year. And then many people, including the Pharisees, many people would fast each week. They fasted from Wednesday to Friday every week. And this was a common practice that everybody practiced. Now, we know that Jesus was religiously observant because his parents took him to the temple to be circumcised when he was 8 days old. At 12 years old, he's at the temple for a ceremony, for festivals, right? So we know that Jesus was religiously observant. We know that Jesus probably fasted 4 times a year like everybody else. And so it was a practice that Jesus participated in his life. And now check this out. In Matthew chapter 4, listen to this. Matthew 4, verse 2. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil." Here it is. "For 40 days and 40 nights he," what? "Fasted and became very hungry." Obviously, right? But yeah, Jesus fasted. When the time came for Jesus to begin his earthly ministry, to live into this thing that God had called him to, when that time came, he began it. He was compelled by the Spirit. In fact, the word in the Greek means to be like driven, like you would drive sheep in front of you, or like you would drive oxen if they were plowing. The Spirit compelled him to go into the wilderness and fast. That's what Jesus did before he began his earthly ministry. Jesus fasted. Here's another thing. Jesus assumed that we would fast. Jesus assumed that we would fast. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, listen to this. Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount, most famous sermon ever. And in Matthew 6, 16, he says, "And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that's the only reward they'll ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face. Then no one will notice your fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." Now notice, Jesus didn't say, "If you fast," right? He didn't say that, did he? He said, when you fast. Because the people he was speaking to, he expected that they were going to fast. It was a normal part of their life to fast. And so he just assumes that, and he tells them how to do it. This teaching on fasting, it actually comes in the middle of his teaching on praying and on giving. Now, do we assume that all of us as Christians should pray? Yeah, right? We do. Do we assume that all of us as Christians should give? Yes, we do. We've already talked about those two spiritual disciplines in our study. And so if we assume that God wants us to do those two things, why would we not assume that God would want us to fast, right? So Jesus fasted. He assumed that we would fast. And look at Matthew 9, verse 19. Matthew 9, verse 19, verse 14 says this. It says, one day, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? Jesus replied, do wedding guests mourn while they're celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday, the groom will be taken away, and then they will fast. Jesus' disciples, when they were hanging out with Jesus, when he was on earth, they didn't fast, right? They were in the presence of Jesus, so they didn't participate in that while he was on earth. But once Jesus ascended into heaven, guess what the early church immediately began to do? They began fasting as a regular part of their worship. And the one clear example of this can be found in Acts chapter 13. In Acts 13, the church at Antioch, now Antioch is the first place where Christians are identified as Christians, first place where they're called Christians. So the early church at Antioch is one of the foundational churches in the ancient world, okay? This is one of the first places where Christians really began to gather and really began to go deep and really began to seek to serve Christ in the way, right? And so in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, all these men are gathered together. They're praying to the Lord, and it says this in verse 2. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. So after more fasting and more prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So fasting was a normal part of their worship. While they're worshiping and fasting, Scripture says, the Lord speaks to them. And by the way, Barnabas and Saul, the reason why you and I are Christians today is probably because of what God did through Saul, right? Who later was called Paul, right? So Paul goes into all of the world as a missionary, all the known world at that time, and spread the gospel. And so this is an important thing that God was calling them to. It came in the middle of their fasting. So that's what the early church was doing. Jesus fasted. Jesus assumed we would fast. So what's the point? What's the point of fasting? Why is this discipline, why does it even matter? Let me give you a few quick reasons. Okay, the first thing is this. Fasting focuses our hearts on God. During the holidays, I don't know about you, but during the holidays, I just went completely off the rails. Okay, like, I just, whatever was in front of me, I just ate it. You know what I mean? And all of my healthy practices that I was working so hard to do, like starting on Halloween, from Halloween until, well, I'm still kind of there, okay? From Halloween until now, right? I have been completely out of my rhythm. I think it's because I'm not, like, your routine, your normal routine gets messed up, right? And so you're out of your routine, and so it just kind of causes you to do all these kinds of unhealthy things. And the reason why breaking your health routine up is such a big deal is because health requires focus. If you're just passively moving through your life, doing and eating whatever you crave in the moment, you're not ever going to be healthy. Health requires intention. Health requires focus. You have to actually try to be healthy, right? You have to work at it. The point of fasting has always been about worship. The point of fasting has always been about our focus. That's what it's always been about, focusing our hearts on Jesus. There's something about denying our bodies, something that our bodies crave, that reminds us about our dependence upon God, and it sharpens our focus on God. We talked earlier about how Paul told the Roman Christians that if they went after their desires, that it would cause all kinds of problems for them. And so we know, right, that denying ourselves the things that we want breaks the hold of idolatry on our hearts. When the people in Romans, when they were abandoned to pursue whatever they want, they worshiped the creation instead of the creator. That's what Paul says. But when we do something to deny ourselves, when we do something to sharpen our focus on God, it reminds us of who's really on the throne of our lives. And it causes us to draw our hearts back to God. In fact, fasting was something that Israel would do, particularly when they were thinking about their sin. On the Day of Atonement, Israel would fast. And they would fast because that was the day when they confessed their sin as a nation to the Lord. And when they were confessing their sin to the nation, as a nation to the Lord, they fasted so that their hearts would be focused on God. Another thing fasting does, it helps to remind us of the sacrifice Jesus made for us. Can I just be honest with you? Like those of us who've grown up in the U.S. our whole lives, we don't have any idea what sacrifice even means. We've never really even had to do it, right? And so sometimes a simple thing, like denying ourselves something that our bodies crave, can remind us of what Jesus sacrificed on our behalf. And it can remind us also that there's this core aspect of Christianity that is sacrifice. It's a core aspect of what it means to be a Christian. And I know that that's not really a popular thing to say, and a lot of preachers might not say it, but I love you too much not to say that. Think about this for a second, if you would. What have you had to sacrifice? What have you had to lay down since you became a Christian? What have you had to sacrifice? Some of us might say, well, I drink a little less. I don't cuss nearly as much. Right. Is that sacrifice? Is that really all we have had to lay down for the cause of Christ? Can I just say to you, like, if we have a faith that does not require sacrifice, we don't have a faith. There's a cost to following Jesus for all of us. Fasting reminds us of that. It reminds us that we have to lay parts of ourselves down in order to follow after Christ. Here's the thing, some of us have, if there's anything in your life right now that you can think of, that you would say, like, if God asked me to give that up, if God asked me to sacrifice that, I don't think I could do it. If there's anything in your life that you'd be like, look, if the Lord came to me and said, lay that down, I don't think I could do it. Friends, that is on the altar of your life. That thing that you won't give up, right, that is idolatry. That's what you're worshiping. And some of us have inadvertently placed other things on the altar of our lives. And they're not bad things necessarily, right? Career goals, success, right? Money, possessions. What about kids? What about family? What about if there's anything in our lives that we are placing over our commitment to Christ, then that's what we're worshiping. And what fasting does is it reminds us that there are other things on the throne of our lives. There are other things on the altar. And it draws our heart back to God. It's time to fast and pray so that our hearts can be returned to God. Fasting helps us hear from God. Fasting helps us to hear from God. We have trouble understanding this today, but it's important to remember this. In the ancient world, like most of a person's day might be spent procuring what they needed and preparing meals. A lot of the day. Anybody here who's done like any kind of diet plan, like Whole30? Has anybody done Whole30? I hung out with some friends on Wednesday that are doing Whole30. If you do that, here's why a lot of people don't do stuff like that, where they try to eat whole food and try to be healthy all the time. It's because it's really hard, okay? I wasn't even the one who was cooking all the meals, and I was like, this is hard, right? In the ancient world, most people would spend their whole day planning and preparing and getting the ingredients they needed in order to prepare meals for their family. It was an all-day thing. And so when you push the pause button on that, when you're like, look, we're not going to eat today or tomorrow, right? When you did that, it freed up a whole lot of time that you were spending doing other things. It quieted the noise in your life, that need to go and do. It stopped all of that so that you could hear from God. I don't know about you guys, but one time we bought Sadie some AirPods, okay? My daughter, Sadie's a freshman in high school. We bought her some AirPods. There's a part of me that regrets that decision, okay? I'm just being real as a dad with you right now, because sometimes we'll be sitting in the living room and we'll need to ask Sadie a question. We'll be like, Sadie, Nothing, right? Not paying attention at all. Can't even hear me. Sometimes I'll be sitting at a table across from Sadie and ask her a question. She doesn't hear anything that I'm saying. You know why? AirPods. AirPods in her ears. It's amazing how well my daughter can hear when T-Swift is not blowing up her ear holes, okay? It's amazing. And sometimes the problem in our life is that, like, we've got so much noise going on, right, that we can't hear God trying to speak to us. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but we've already talked about two times in Scripture where God spoke to people while they were fasting. God spoke to Daniel. He received a vision from the Lord when he was doing a partial fast. God spoke to the believers at Antioch when they were fasting. God spoke to them. And God speaks to us if we'll create space to hear him. Here's the thing. Listen, God's not trying to hide from you. God's not trying to make it complicated. God is speaking to you. The problem often is not that God's not speaking, it's that we're not listening. And the reason we're not listening is because there's so many other things competing for our attention. Sometimes we need to fast so that we can shut those things down and we can listen to the Lord God. That's why Jesus said, look, don't put ashes on your head and like get a sad look on your face when you're fasting. Don't walk around looking all disheveled and sad. If you do that, you're focusing on what you're missing out on. Man, wash your face, comb your hair. Man, put your nice clothes on. Put that smile up on your face because this is not about something you're abstaining from. It's about something you're about to receive from the Lord God. It's a time to celebrate because God's about to tell you something. And that's why you don't look all sad when you're fasting. That's why you don't mourn when you're fasting. We're hearing God's voice. Some of you right now, you're praying for something. You've been praying for something. You're not hearing anything. You've been asking God for something. You're wondering, why is God not answering? It's time to fast. It's time to fast and pray so that you can hear God's voice. Here's another thing. Fasting reveals the things that control us. Do you guys remember this commercial? There's a car full of guys. There's a car full of guys driving someplace, and Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin is also in the back seat. Aretha Franklin's like, can you turn on some air in here? It's so hot, you know. And she's griping about how hot it is in the car, right? And it's just on and on and on. Finally, one friend who's sitting next to Aretha Franklin, like, you know, nudges him in the elbow. He's like, look, here, eat this Snickers, okay? You're a diva when you're hungry, right? And you know, Aretha Franklin eats the Snickers and immediately turns into, you know, a dude, right, who's sitting in the back seat of the car. And the whole tagline for Snickers was, you're not you when you're hungry. Anybody ever have that experience? Anybody ever get hangry? Anybody? Go ahead, raise your hand. Who gets hangry sometimes? I get hangry, right? Here's the thing. When we deny ourselves, you know what comes out of us? All the places where we're broken, all the places where we're messed up, all of the places where we're sick. There's a reason why. There's a reason why skipping one meal can turn me into an ogre, right? There might be something wrong with my heart. There might be something wrong with my heart when not eating in 4 hours makes me treat the people I love so disrespectfully. Do you think? When we deny ourselves, these broken places come to the surface. We can see them. And here's the deal. In order for us to be healed, we have to be aware of where we are sick. I'm the king of that. I'm the king of denial. I do not want to pay attention to any of the ways that I'm sick or broken or messed up. I do not want to know about it. I'm just like, I walk through my life like this. La, 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 right? I do not want to have to deal with it. I work really hard, actually, at denial. I've spent most of my adult life doing that. The thought of having to come face to face with the ways that I am broken, with the ways that I fall short, the thought of having to stare my sin and my brokenness in the face terrifies me. I do not want to do it. But there's something about denying ourselves that causes us to be able to see those things, that draws them to the surface. And it draws them to the surface so that they can be healed. God doesn't want us to live like that, chained to those things. We've got to recognize our weaknesses and be healed. So it's time to fast and pray so that we can be healed by God. Okay, Brad. I hear you. There's a lot of reasons here you're giving me for doing this. How do I do it? Can you give me some practical advice? Okay, let me give you a couple things. First, choose a fast. okay? There may be something other than food that you need to fast from, right? Maybe something other than food that is drawing your attention. Some of us need a social media fast, praise be to God, right? That's taking up all of our energy and time. Some of us need to fast from technology. Some of us from Netflix, okay? I'm just being real, right? But there's some things that we might need to fast from. Now, here's the thing. You can't fast from sin, okay? It would be ludicrous for someone to say, you know what, Brad, I hear you. I am going to fast for the next week. I'm going to fast from heroin, okay? No heroin for the week. You shouldn't be proud of yourself for that. I'm fasting from pornography, okay? This way I'm going to fast from that. What? That's sin. You're not supposed to do that in the first place. You can't fast from sin. So there are some things that are going on in some of our lives that we just need to fast and pray so that God can help us not do them anymore, right? Some of us need deliverance. But we choose a fast. Choose a fast. And it can be, you can, if you want to do food, right? You can do a lunch to lunch fast, right? And start off that way. Because here's the other thing. Choose a fast, right? And then start small. Look, no one goes out. My friend Russell said this this morning. I thought it was so profound. He said, you don't just walk out of your house one day and run a marathon, okay? You can. You'll die, okay, halfway through. Don't do that, right? What you do is you run a little bit at a time. You build up your endurance, right? So don't start out and be like, I'm fasting for a week. You know, don't do that. You're not going to make it. It's going to be torture, right? Fast from one meal. Do that for a while. Then fast lunch to lunch. Do a 24-hour fast, right? Start small. Be practical. Be realistic. And here's the last thing. Listen, check your heart. Look, the physical aspects of fasting are going to be fascinating, right? It does kind of crazy things to your body, you know? And a lot of it is really, really good, healthy benefits. There's a reason why, like, intermittent fasting is like a health nut crazy thing right now, right? There's a reason why. Because it produces good effects in your body. But that's not the point. Focus what's happening on your soul. Spend time in worship and prayer, time that you would have spent eating or doing something else, right? Whatever it is you're fasting from, spend that worshiping, spend that praying, spend that seeking after God in His Word. Be sure to listen to how God is speaking to you. So follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit as you get into this. Let the Holy Spirit direct you to what you need to fast from. And then do it, a little bit at a time. And make it a practice in your life. Look, guys, the thing about all this stuff is it can turn into legalism. We don't want to do that. That's not what this is about. If you're doing any of these practices just to be doing them, right, then you won't find life in them. You're going to find death in them. If you're doing these practices because you really want to be drawn closer to the Lord, because you really want to experience more of His mercy and grace, because you really do want to know Him better and make sure your heart is fully surrendered to Him, if you're doing it for those reasons, you're going to find life. And that's what I want for you. I want for you and for me to find life.